Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this rainy, rainy, wet Thursday, February, however you pronounce it, depending on which side of town you live on. The 17th, 2022, 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. And we kind of continue our Meet the Candidates series here because, as I said earlier in the week, an interesting development happened last week in Marion politics. We have a sitting incumbent county commissioner, Ken Stiverson, who is running for re-election this year. And when the petitions were filed and verified by the Board of Elections last week, we got copies of those the following day. And lo and behold, there will be a Republican primary for that position against incumbent Stiverson. And maybe the more interesting thing about that is the two people who will challenge him in that May primary, we still think it's May at this point, are two people who currently hold office in Marion County, one in the city and one in the county. Although we did learn yesterday when Dr. Mark Davis appeared with us that he did I hope I'm using the right word here when I say resigned as Marion County Coroner. He still will be the Deputy Coroner, but as of Tuesday, he is no longer the Marion County Coroner, devoting his time to this primary, so he said yesterday on this program. The third person in this race is 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schaber, who we are so glad accepted our invitation to come in today and hear why this is happening and what his thoughts are on the county. And again, I do want to make note that we also have an open door for Ken Stiverson. We have not heard from him yet, but should he ever want to come on, we will make time for him as well. Jason, good to have you in the studio this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. And before we get started, I really want to apologize. Back in Christmas, you had the fruitcake toss, and a lovely lady called and invited me to come down, and I accepted, and just before I was supposed to come, I had a little pig get out, and I did not want to show up to your event smelling like hog. apologize for that.
60 foot. A kid came who worked at Donato's Pizza, how many people throw fruitcakes in their life to begin with?
Right.
But people did practice. He showed up, no practice, put in by his grandfather, and an underarm tossed that thing. I never thought anything would go 60 foot. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, Jason, why are you running for this office? This is interesting.
So I was on council previous I think 3 or 4 terms. I can't remember when I took a break away from council. And then when I thought I needed to get back into politics to do my part of community service, commissioner was where I kind of thought I wanted to go instead of back to council. Well, that involves primarying somebody because there was 3 Republicans, and at that point, they didn't look like they was going to be leaving anytime soon. So I settled on 3rd Ward, which I won. And so when this opportunity came around, it was always in the back of my mind to run for commissioner at some point. And then I heard through the grapevine that Kenny Stiverson will be primaried. So there's my opportunity. I'm not the sole bad guy for primarying a Republican.
Well, this is the question that a lot, and we talked with Dr. Davis about this yesterday. Animosity is not the right word, but primarying a long-term commissioner, is there...
There's hurt feelings or something.
Yeah, is there something going on in the Republican meetings, get-togethers?
I don't go to Republican meetings anymore. The local Republican Party, the leadership, especially this last go-around for city council of course I was unopposed, and then we had the auditor issue, and some of the local Republican Party leadership on social media. And of course, I don't want to get into Facebook drama and stuff like that. They made some nasty comments, called me an idiot and one of the Three Stooges because I was part of the special committee. And so I don't go to the meetings until something changes there. So,
and that happened. Why, in your opinion, did that happen? This is your party. You win your offices. You're part of their group. And I do want you to tell me why you're a Republican. I always think that's interesting to learn.
I'm a Republican?
Why, yeah, because we hear those words, Republican, Democrat, Independent, all the time. And it's always interesting to know why somebody identifies with a certain party.
To your first question, or to the part of why I identify as a Republican, because I hold the true Republican principles as how I guide my life. Limited government, strong families, but seems like the local Republican Party, the leadership, to be a good Republican, you have to cover up for when bad Republicans do things. And I will not be a part of that.
Now, see, that's interesting because I think most people who are Republicans would say that's what a Republican is, what you said. But what has happened with the local Republican Party that's going on? The cover-up, as you say. Or cover four.
Cover four, whatever. I don't know. I can't speak for why they have the tactics that they have. I don't want to be part of it. I do know that.
When it comes to running for a seat in a primary, you say you knew he was going to be primary. Did you know it was the doctor at the time?
Yes. Rumor mill, grapevine, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I knew it was Dr. Davis. I don't know Dr. Davis. From what I hear when I was gathering signatures, because whenever you're getting signatures, who are you running against? Well, Kitty Stuyvesant, and I hear Dr. Davis, I guess as a physician, you're pretty well known. You got name recognition, but I don't know Dr. Davis from. I think I could pick him out, but.
That being said, Ken Stuyvesant is the incumbent. Yes. They always say the incumbents have a good advantage.
He has Kenny has a definite advantage, especially in a three-way race.
Does he have huge support in the county? Because what objective people, I think, would say are Democrats right now don't win in Marion County.
Right.
When you look at any position, they don't seem to win. So the Democrats in these races, right now, we just kind of set aside in a lot of cases, mm-hmm. for whatever reason. But when you have three Republicans, and you have three Republicans who have held office, mm-hmm. in Marion, that changes it a little bit, because it's not about an R or a D anymore, it's three R's there. Mm-hmm. And somebody will go in May, well, people who vote, will check one of those R's. Mm-hmm. So does Ken Stuyvesant really have much of an advantage here?
I think regardless, the incumbent always has the advantage, but is his advantage diminished because I think he'll be going into his fourth term if he wins this time, and people weigh where have we been in these 12 years, so. But the vantage is still in his favor, I believe. So it's going to be a tough battle for me, and I'm not afraid of knocking doors at all.
Well, that's the question. A two-part question here. How can you win this? Because it is a short amount of time.
It is.
And number two, what do you see going wrong? Because I would have to think you'd think something was wrong with Stuyvesant or the county commissioners in general to want to remove him from office.
So I think you're right. The race will be small, and I believe that the race on the primary will determine the outcome because, like you said, Democrats have a hard, tough time. How I win it, I'm just going to put my name out there. There won't be a Republican door that doesn't get knocked on by me. What was your other part of your question?
What do you see wrong?
Wrong?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would argue that something's wrong with Marion. There would be a strong argument that Marion County is stale. It needs to be moved forward in the right direction, and because the city of Marion downtown, we've got two local, Alex and Luke Henry, they're doing a lot on just South Main, that section of South Main Street. And we have a, realize the county commissioners realize that a strong city actually creates a stronger county, then we'll be, all of us will be better off.
Now, I talked to the doctor about this yesterday, and I'm interested to get your opinion, because you have spoken out on these three issues. Now, not that these were the big three issues of that have impacted people's life in Marion. I don't want to phrase it that way. But as far as media and attention, in the last couple years, these are the three. And I'm going to group two together and then go to the third one. But I don't believe, and again, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, that the county commissioners ever spoke out one way or another on any of these issues. City council members did. The mayor did. Both sheriffs. We had a changing of the sheriff during that time period. Both of them did. A prosecutor, to some degree, has spoken out on these issues. But the county commissioners have not. And the two that I'm going to group together, then we'll go to the third one, are the auditor situation, and Jason Warner and his situation. Mm-hmm. Why do you think we've heard nothing from the county commissioners when we've heard opinion, empathy, calls for resignation, not calls for resignation from almost every other official who's been asked about it, but not the county commissioners?
I can't speak for why they didn't. I can only guess, but it probably goes back to the definition of a good Republican. Their Auditor Landon example would be the Clerk of Courts, Julie Cagle. How long did that go on? For years. It was probably the worst kept secret of how that office was ran. If I was a county commissioner at that time, I would have been vocal saying, how can we help you? Because that's what we did with Auditor Landon. What kind of help do you need, to either training or whatever is needed? But the Julie Cagle thing went on for I don't know how many years, and they said absolutely nothing. And I think it's just part of the new Republican principle for the local party is the be a good Republican and ignore it until it goes away.
When did you first see this start to happen? In a big way.
See what happens.
That we're just going to ignore it.
So, when I was on council the first time, I was active with the party. And then when I chose not to rerun for council for various other reasons, I was no longer active with the party. There was some leadership changes when I was away for, I think, 3 or 4 years, and then when I came back, and I think that's a reflection of the leadership.
Want to talk about the third issue here, the pandemic. I remember the first week we went into the pandemic, the mayor came on, the health commissioner came on, the prosecutor, Grogan, came on, the sheriff at that time was Bailey, he came on, everybody came on to a certain degree, no county commissioners, and I still don't think they've ever said anything in regard to the pandemic, any feeling, just in general in the nearly 2 years of this. Is there a place to speak about that, and if there is, why do you think they haven't?
Well, there, I don't know how much the three county commissioners like to go out and get on the radio or whatever and speak, but as far as a place for them to voice an opinion about the pandemic and how we get through the pandemic and whatever issues we had along with it, the health department put together, through the direction of the governor a COVID task force, and we met via Zoom. I think we was meeting every 2 weeks, and the commissioners were part of it, school superintendents were part of it, and that was the time that they could voice their opinions and give direction on which way the county went.
Why do groups not get along anymore? Since 2000,
I have no idea.
Well, 2016 seemed to be the year locally, and I don't know what happened. Not that people have not disagreed before. That has happened, but until 2016 locally, it still seemed as if the R and the D did not mean much in a local election. You might have known the person. They might have been in office. You might have dealt with their business. You voted for the person. You can look at these voter turnouts, and you can look at when we have a presidential election, the local Republicans usually win by just about the same amount, uniformly. Same thing with a governor's election. Do people know the local candidates anymore, or are they just looking for that R and the D?
Do they know the local candidates? I don't know. Are local candidates even quality candidates? Maybe that's the question.
Well, there was a question during the last city council run. Now, I'll finally be able to ask you this. Now, the mayor said that he felt that you endorsed a Democrat.
Kathy Swan?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
There was a question of
I'll
this.
I'll do it again if she wants to run.
Well, she did not win.
Right. She did not.
So, in your opinion, how does that happen? That somebody who a Republican crossed the aisle to endorse, because you obviously felt she was doing a good job, she was the incumbent in that race, she still lost.
She lost because she lives in the second ward, and that's where there's strong R's. But if you look at the numbers, the Republican won, but how big of a victory was it? Considering the numbers.
Not a huge margin.
I don't think so at all.
When we look at city council now, how are things going there? Is it better than the last city council?
So I get along with everybody. So, and like you said, how can people get along? I do. I don't have that problem. That's other people. If they can't see past party affiliation, that's not my problem. That's theirs. So I think council's fine. I treat everyone with respect. I've reached out to all the new council members and try to, I mean, on the first day, I don't know how much they knew on January 1 what was taking place, and some of them did not realize that at noon January 1 you was voting on a multi-million dollar budget. So, and I reached out to them, try to treat everyone with respect, and because the ultimate goal is to serve the city of Marion as council members, not our parties.
Do you think the votes that happen on city council now are more about party?
There are some things that are oddly politicized when always confuse it. I think it was called the ARPA bill. It was COVID-type funding. And we had a huge discussion, or a long discussion, over a basketball court. Why are we politicizing a basketball court? The money's there. They are tax dollars, but it's not... It came from the folks in the city of Marion, but it's not the general fund dollars. In Founders Park, we want to do some different things there. We have opportunity to get a grant. We submitted a grant. It was denied because it didn't quite fit what they was trying to get for outdoor activities, COVID safe. So we changed it, and then there's a few council members that decided to politicize that and turn down, it's not free money, it's tax dollars, but turned down that grant. And luckily it passed, but it passed 6-3, but if it had passed 5-4, we would have lost it because of the timing issue.
I want to ask this one question about the auditor, just because I think it does reflect on the county commissioner race that we're going to talk about here. Because it does come down to the Republican Party in Marion right now. That issue that went on all last year, basically ate the whole year up and led with to the resignation or of the resignation of Robert Landon. I attended some of those meetings, and if you walked in the door and didn't know who the Democrats and Republicans were, by the time you left the meeting, you certainly knew. And that's how people fell on that issue, except you. And that's the truth. But
so are you saying you was confused on my party affiliation because I handled a clearly black and white right and wrong issue?
Well, see, but to people watching that, to half of those people, it wasn't black and white. Clearly.
Okay.
And that's what was interesting. Because to a lot of people, and I think a lot of people who didn't vote, to be honest with you, what was it, 20% turnout in the last election?
Very low.
Right. And I think a lot of people said, is this about a guy doing his job, or is this about a political party? Because we saw press releases like nobody's business last time. We saw people getting attacked on Facebook, as you say, you being one of those. We saw wars of words between people on social media. And was the person doing their job, which I think the issue was, I don't know. Depended on who you talked to at that time, to be honest.
So if your question is, was Auditor Landon doing his job?
Yeah. Was he a competent auditor, which is what that came down to?
The auditor was doing his job, but not correctly. Mistakes happen. Who cares? It just so happened that one of his mistakes resulted in $1.3 million going to the wrong place. That's fine. Tell us. But don't not tell us, grab another $1.3 million and send it out, and hopefully everything settles and no one's the wiser. Was that the case? That's what happened, but trying to keep it a secret, was that in Robert's mind? I don't know. We'll never know. But when council got involved, we just wanted answers. Why? How can we prevent it? And how can we move forward? And we can never get to that because party affiliation, protecting the party, and it just protecting the Republican at no cost. And that's just not how I operate. If it's wrong, let's talk about it, let's fix it, and move on.
Well, and this is why I'm moving on to this is why I think this is important to the county commissioner situation at this point. For the first time in a long time, we have three Republican county commissioners. There used to be a Democrat in there, usually, and there have been times where there were two Democrats of this three-person vote. Now it's all Republican. Again, maybe a sign of the times in Marion County since 2016. Is that good? It's good for a party. They celebrate when they win elections. But right now, we have a Republican sheriff, three Republican commissioners, Republicans control city council, a Republican prosecutor. Does Marion have checks and balances? Because that, again, that's why I wanted to talk about the auditor situation. Is there a check and balance anywhere here in Marion?
So, if your definition of checks and balances is an equal Republican versus Democrat elected official ratio, I don't think that'll ever exist. I think if the electorate there, we have a smart electorate, but turnout's been low. But I truly believe that, for the most part, they know who they're voting for, and it's the best person at that time. Whether they're the best campaigner, they're actually the best candidate, that all comes out once they're in that position. And the good thing with elections are they come up every 4 years, and if they do a bad job, they're out.
The county, a lot of the issues with the county rely on the sales tax. So the county financially is usually in pretty good shape. So if the commissioners are not front and center a lot of the time, I don't think people think about it, honestly. I think they say, well, I don't hear any bad things coming out of the county. We don't hear about money issues. We don't hear about employment issues. We don't hear about anything. So if they're not out there, okay.
Is that a good or bad thing?
That's the question.
I don't know. I mean, is it... That is a reflection of why I believe people think Marion County is stale and not moving where it should be. Because you don't hear these things. Do you know for sure that Marion County is financially in a good position?
And this comes back two meetings a week that happen at 9 o'clock in the morning. I think they still happen at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Is it two? Is it? I think under COVID they went to just Thursdays.
Did they go down to one?
I believe.
For a long time there were two.
Yep.
Twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday. Not an advantageous time for anybody to come see those meetings. How do you stay entwined with good information if you are a voter in Marion County?
It would make it difficult. It does make it difficult. And I think that would fall on the shoulders of the commissioners to put that information out there. But if you don't want information out there for people to know what's truly going on, why would you?
This has been going on for 20 years because the commissioners, no matter who they have been in the last 20 years, it's not a bad salary for that position. Certainly more than what a city council person makes.
Definitely.
And a lot of people feel that, hey, you go in, you build up your retirement, you get a nice salary, it's not a heavy lifting job, and you go on. Do you think that has been the philosophy of some people who've been in this position?
I don't know what they're thinking, but you can easily make that assumption with the makeup of the commissioners.
Is that where we are now, without pointing names to your opponent or the other two? Is that what we've become?
I don't think I know I've not thought about that way, but that's an easy... It's not a stretch, but you could... It's the commissioners now. That's their retirement job.
And how do we change this? If you can win the primary, it's a pretty good shoe-in that you're going to win the main. Just the way that...
Just the way the landscape is.
The way especially in the county.
Correct.
Even more than in the city. What can you do? You would be serving with Appafeller and Kerr Murray, who are both Republicans. Do you consider them the Republican Party that you don't attend the meetings for anymore?
I don't have any issues with Kenny Stiverson, Kerr Murray, Andy Appafeller. I think all three of those guys are great guys. They are actually not part of the Republican Party leadership. I think Kenny's the club president, but that's not the party. I don't have any issues with those men at all. I think they're all great men.
So you feel that you could, and we're just taking Ken out of it because he happens to be the one you're running against.
Right.
So if you were in there, first day, Andy Appafeller's there, Kerr Murray's there. Are these men you can work with and change that composition that we just spoke of?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we would, and I say this jokingly, I would bring down the average age by about half.
Well, is that a problem? Is that a problem? I mean, that's...
No, that is not a problem. Like I said, just jokingly, but I would definitely have a lot more energy, because I have issues with meetings that just meet. I want action out of meetings, and I've been a part of a lot of meetings that just talk, and different departments brag about what they did or what they didn't do or what the issues are, but it never comes to a conclusion of a resolution or a fix, and that drives me insane.
Why do we have, and not necessarily even age here, why do we have positions that people get into and as long as they run, they seem to win?
I don't know.
It's an interesting thing, because you always hear complaints about it, but I'm not sure it's from voters. I'm not sure those people... I would guess they can't be voting, because nothing is ever changing.
Right, right. And if that's a hard way to campaign, if you're going to campaign that you're the younger guy and there's a bunch of old men. That would be a rough way to go.
Well, is it troublesome to campaign as a younger guy? I mean, you're not a senior citizen by far.
When I first ran for city council for at-large, I was 27, and I probably at that time looked like I was pushing 13. So I knock on the door, say my spiel, and hand them my little flip card, and it was obvious that the person I was talking to at the door was not paying attention to a word I said. And then when I would say thanks for your time and I'd walk away, they would always say how sweet it was that I was out campaigning for my dad. So I'm now a little bit older. I've got less hair, so I look a bit older now.
Fit the part more?
Yes.
Fit the part more. You know, it's being around Marion politics for about 24 years now, you see a lot. And it's interesting, county commissioner-wise, for example. I don't think any of the current county commissioners were there when I started covering it. Appafeller might have just been starting at that point. But I know the other two were not. Kerr Murray, who, this is not about him, but Kerr Murray ran for that office several times and did not win.
Correct.
He even ran in a primary, I think, once and did not win.
I don't remember that, but he may have.
He may have. But yet, in this Republican-driven, down-ticket vote we have now, he can win and get reelected. Same man. Mm-hmm. Is that a problem for you when you go in, when they either hear the name or see that big R that they have voted for ever, even though your name has an R next to it? Is that a problem in your race?
I don't think so. I think that I will be able to separate myself from the other R's, and that is how I plan to conduct my campaign, and we'll see how it shakes out.
You know what's strange? This conversation we're having, and we're talking a lot about Republicans and Democrats here, 10 years ago, this would not be the conversation we would be having on the local level. We'd be talking about, okay, what's wrong with the county? How do you fix it? But you got to get in office to get that done now.
Correct.
And for some reason now, that means something on the local level. And I think, obviously, the Republican leadership has figured that out and knows how to do it.
Yeah, yeah. All politics are local, and we're seeing that.
With the Republican leadership not being so happy with you anymore, mm-hmm. do you think that's going to be a problem?
It presents a challenge. Because if you're not at the meeting, they can talk about you and you can't defend yourself. But that meeting that they may or may not talk negatively about me or anyone, this is just a handful of people. That's not everyone.
A primary is an interesting race because there are pluses and minuses to this. In your particular case, is it a plus or minus that you have to be a registered Republican to vote in this?
The simple answer is you have to be a Republican to vote. So there's so much, I don't know how to accurately describe it other than there's such a thirst for Republican candidates that I think this primary will probably be a little bit higher of a turnout than what we've seen in the past. Not that there's a great bunch of candidates that people are just going out the door to campaign for. Is just, I think the national politics will drive our local politics to a higher turnout.
Well, it seems to me that the people who vote do know the people they're voting for.
Yes.
I fervently believe that 20% that showed up last year, even though it was a low number, knew who they were voting for. Mm-hmm. I don't think a primary is going to be 20%. It usually is nowhere near that. Mm-hmm. Even though we do... One thing that might change that, though, for the Republicans here is that gubernatorial primary.
Yes.
So
yes.
It could be high. It might. I'm not sure.
I think in 2018, the turnout for that primary was 17,000 voters for the 42,000 or 52,000 that was registered or eligible to vote.
Not bad.
So that's not a terrible turnout. That's actually pretty good for primary. I think 18 was that weird, that was before the COVID hit. So, yeah. It
was, I think that was the DeWine Mary Taylor primary.
Yes.
Which was a little sharp elbowed, kind of like this one that's going on right now. So that being said, let's say we get a decent turnout for your primary, because that's going to trickle to the lower level. This is an odd question, but again, it's the trickle-down way people vote now. If DeWine wins Marion County, Renacci, Blystone, not that they'll win the state and not that they'll win that position, position to run for Republican for the governor, who do you need to do well in Marion? Whose voters do you need to turn out?
As a state level, I think that if DeWine does well in Marion County, my thoughts, these are just my thoughts, that DeWine would benefit Stiverson. Blystone would be a more, because he's the alternative. I think Dr. Davis and I benefit if he does well.
A lot of Blystone signs in Marion.
Yes, there is.
If you had to guess right now in that race, because obviously I would hope you would think you're going to win your race.
Yes.
Who's going to take that gubernatorial primary in Marion? Not necessarily the state, because I think DeWine will do well in more liberal areas. In Marion County, who's going to win that?
I would say that Blystone has a pretty easy go at it here in Marion County.
Can he win the nomination?
I don't know.
Much tougher.
Yes.
Yeah. And just for the record, for people who don't pay this closely to politics, Mitt Romney won Marion County, John McCain won Marion County, Donald Trump won Marion County in the last go-around. Mm-hmm. So whoever wins Marion County does not always win office.
Yes.
So that's important to keep in mind. What is the biggest glaring issue with the county right now? Do you know if they're financially solvent? We talked about that earlier.
No, I do not. Because I remember, I can't remember if it is a few years ago that the commissioners decided to raise the sales tax. And I don't remember, or I don't know if you remember or not, but at that time, Sheriff Bailey had that Feel the Pain program where he parked all the cruisers right along the sheriff's office to let everyone know that this is how many deputies that are not on the streets. So I don't know. I plan on digging in and finding out.
When we look at Dr. Davis, does a three-person race hurt Stiverson, or does that hurt you? Because it would seem, knowing what we know now, having Dr. Davis on yesterday and you today, that Dr. Davis does seem, he goes to the meetings, let's say that. He goes to the meetings, doesn't seem to be disliked by the Republican Party. I haven't seen any negative press against him from them. You have faced other in the last year. Are they going to split a vote, or are you and Dr. Davis going to split the vote because you've got an incumbent?
Well, I'm running to win, but I see the challenges. The challenges are obvious. I believe that Dr. Davis and I will be battling for top votes, but we could potentially be splitting the votes for Stiverson because he is, in fact, the incumbent.
Is Ken Stiverson a popular politician, or is he a product of the time? Now, there are people who are popular. There's no doubt about it. But there are also people who have gotten in on the wave of we just like Republicans in Marion County.
Don't know if Stiverson is a popular politician, but in the farming community, Stiverson's well known. I mean, he's a great guy.
Is it hard to run against somebody who you refer to as a great guy?
It is. Yeah. And that was my struggle even turning in my petition. And I reached out to a few people, and they told me, why Kenny? Why don't you wait for the next cycle, which will be Appenfeller and Murray? And I was at the point that I was listening to that, but yet while I was thinking this, I'm still out getting signatures.
In that, you being told that, is that because he's more vulnerable than the other two, or they think they're going to leave and leave a position open? What was the logic behind that?
I don't know what their logic, why they said it, but I would guess that, go back to Kenny's a good guy, and he is so entrenched in the farming community that it's tough.
Ken is a very nice guy. My run-ins with him have always been pleasant. I've never had a bad run-in. I think probably most people in the county would say that. Mm-hmm. But there is a group that also says, and oddly enough, since we've been covering this race just in the last week, I have heard people say, and it is an age thing, it comes back to that, that he's had his time. He's not 40 anymore. Mm-hmm. And do we have to stick with the same thing time and time and time again?
Stick with the same thing, you get stagnant, and I believe that's where Marion County is.
And is that the problem here with the three county commissioners, which are, you know, you've referred to them all as nice guys. Mm-hmm. Is that the problem? That's the group we got. They are not kids anymore. They still want to run for re-election. And business as usual during that one meeting a week.
Yes, that's what we have. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Now, saying that, is that going to get you in trouble with the Republican Party?
Yeah. I mean, anytime you pick on, not pick on, or talk about calling the question age and stuff like that's a thin, very thin line, because you're also, by saying, making these comments, you're pushing some of your electorate away that may be the same age that are good voting Republicans that don't want a young whippersnapper in there. So
everybody's got to have an idea when they run for office. What is the thing that you think you'll be confronted most at people's doors with, and what will you be talking to them about? What is that thing that can get you in office?
I think my thing will be the fact that I will try to actually accomplish things and move things forward. What these things are, that's still being formed with my campaign.
Now, just so people know, your term would not be up at city council, in city council, in the third ward, if you were elected. So that seat would be filled by the Republican Party, should you
correct.
Win?
Should I win the general election, I would be sworn in as commissioner in January. I would have to resign as county, or as a city councilman, and then the party would feel that.
We got about 4 minutes left, and I'd be remiss if we didn't touch on this, because you are a city politician. The other big story in the city in the last week was the mayor. The mayor is now running for state treasurer. Now, were you surprised by this?
Yeah, I had no clue, but good for Scott. I mean, he is a Democrat, but he is from Marion County. I think that we should be proud of the fact that we have someone that wants to run for a statewide office from Marion County.
I know you're an honest guy. Can our sitting Democratic mayor running for state office carry Marion County in the general?
I would hope he could, just because of what I said. He's our guy. He's from Marion County. And if you really dig into the politics and look at how Scott ran his campaigns and the funding, a lot of Republicans gave Scott Schercher money. So Republicans liking, they may be vocal the opposite of that right now, but
has he alienated himself 15th year as mayor, has he alienated himself to a much bigger degree than he ever did before through this auditor situation with the Republican Party? And maybe some of those people who did give him money in his campaigns.
That I have no clue.
That got nasty.
It got nasty, yeah. And the nasty was more towards the people pointing out the issues than the person making the issue.
It's on our news today, so I'm going to bring this up, because obviously he is still the mayor. Is it hard to have a guy who's clearly going to have to spend a lot of time out of the city campaigning for this office to get known in all these other counties this year while this is going on?
Will I have issue with the mayor campaigning? By state statute, the mayor only has to show up one day out of 90. So that's all he's required to be there.
And back to the county commissioners, because we've got a minute and a half left here. With the salaries, and people can look them up, and I think those are the mayor's salary and their salaries are pretty good salaries for those positions, that you only have to show up. Do you think that's what people do for not the mayor? But
if you want to get reelected, you better not show up one day out of
the right,
day.
Right. Do people know when the county commissioners are in their offices? Mayor's a little more visible.
Right.
Do people really know?
Well, the mayor likes photo ops, so that's what makes him visible.
We see him.
And I honestly don't know if our county commissioners keeps office hours.
This could help you, the answer to this question. If I went out today and found 30 people, the first 30 people I walked up to didn't know if they were Republican or Democrat, just know they're in Marion City or County, whatever you want to say. And I said, name the three county commissioners. Could they do it?
I don't think so.
Is this a problem?
It could be.
For them or you?
Yes. Because turnout was low. People are probably really sick of politics.
Do you have to say something negative? Not personally. Do you have to criticize Ken Stuyvesant's job? He's the incumbent. He's got the record. Do you have to do that to win?
No, and I will not. I will not negatively, personally attack Stuyvesant or Dr. Davis. I probably will run my campaign and try not to even say their name, because it's about me leading the county the direction I think we need to go.
Final question here. Dr. Davis said yesterday he was going to self-fund his campaign. Being a doctor, he can do that. Mm-hmm. And former coroner. I would imagine from what you've said that there are going to be a lot of Republican donors for Ken Stuyvesant lining up. He's an incumbent. Mm-hmm. He's entrenched in that party. Where does your money come from? Who's going to donate? Politics has become money.
Right. And so I will probably self-fund a majority of mine. I will, if anyone wants to give a donation, I will gladly accept it. But it'll be all self-funded by me, and there's really not enough time between now and the primary to have fundraisers and then try to purchase stuff, because there's lead times, because COVID's causing ink issues and the whole. So there's just not enough time, so it'll be my wallet funding it, I'm sure.
It's going to be an interesting time here in Marion coming up. May is what we still have as the primary. I can't see that. Can you see that changing? There's been some talk of this.
There's been some talk, and I don't know if redistricting, where that's at, and that's what's affecting the move, but I never thought that we would change a primary or general election before, and we did that with COVID.
Who knows?
So
we'll see what happens. We'll keep people alerted. Jason Schauber, 3rd Ward City Councilman, running for County Commissioner in the Republican primary right now, May, against incumbent Ken Stuyvesant and former coroner as of this week, Dr. Mark Davis. So that will be very interesting. Glenn Coble up next. Thank you, Jason, for coming in.
Yes,
a lot of fun. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Well, you've already tapped. And they did a little thing called Where, Oh, Where Are You Tonight? And the chorus was, Where, Oh, Where Are You Tonight? Why did you leave me here all alone? I searched the world over and I thought I'd found true love. You